Hello, fellow rebel capitalists. Hope you're well. Wanted to go over some shocking charts that really show how the odds of the United States economy going into a recession are definitely increasing. And I think the closer we get to quantitative easing going down to zero, interest rates rising, and if, the big if, the Fed starts quantitative tightening, I think the chances of us going into a recession, maybe even worse, definitely increase. And I want to point out that it's very possible for the United States to go into an inflationary recession, just like we were in the 1970s. But let's start by looking at some charts. And let's see, the first one I want to go over right here. And I think this is really an eye-opener. And this is the Fed funds rate relative to the 30-year fixed rate mortgage, or the rate, the interest rate on the 30-year fixed rate mortgage. So the red line is the mortgage rate. The blue line is Fed funds. And this starts right in 1970, roughly. And the first thing that I'd like you to notice is since 1981, almost every single time the Fed has raised rates significantly, we've had a recession. Now, there has been a couple exceptions. I wish that thing would stop floating around there. But right here, I don't want to go down here, else it pops up again. So right about here, if you look at that blue line, interest rates went up there. I'm assuming that might add something to do with the Plaza Accord, but maybe that's why the dollar was so strong, because they started to raise rates right there. And I don't know, maybe that had something to do with it. But you can see that since 1981, or including 1981, we've had 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 recessions. And each one of these has been preceded by an increase in interest rates from the Fed overnight rate. Now, there were two times where the increase in the Fed funds rate did not result in a recession. That was mid-80s and mid-90s. I would argue that the economy is so financialized now, and there's so much debt, that the probability is far higher that Fed raising interest rates would create a recession. In fact, I think that's pretty much what's going on here. As the economy got more and more financialized and more dependent upon the stock market and asset prices, that means that increase in interest rates would affect the economy via asset prices far more than it did maybe prior to 1995. But you'll notice pretty much every single time that the Fed funds rate got close to the 30-year mortgage rate, we had a recession. And that makes sense, because this would mean that the yield curve, the treasury curve, was flattening. So you see what happened prior to the recession in 1990? The rates were very close. Right here, recession, prior.com, rates very close. Same thing for GFC. And we are getting close there with the Cervasa sickness. So I think the next question would be, okay, well, now we're down at zero, and this blue line will most likely start to go back up. Well, do mortgage rates go up in lockstep with the front end of the curve? In other words, the Fed funds rate. And I'm under the, my base case is no. I think that the rates at the long end of the curve will go up, but they'll most likely go up at a slower pace. What that means, blue line will be getting closer and closer and closer to this red line, which means that the probability of us going into recession is higher and higher and higher. That's really what the bond market would be telling us. And the bond market, at the end of the day, is the smart money, in my opinion. So that's chart number one. I think we have to pay attention. Oh, actually, there's another thing that I wanted to point out that I think is very important to notice in this chart is back during, let's say, 1981, it took interest rates at, let's call 17.5% Fed funds in order to create this slowdown and create an economic recession. Okay, well, when was the next recession? This was 1990. So rates then only had to get up to 10%. Keep going. The next one was 2000, 10 years later. So you see, we've gone from 17.5 down to 10, down to 6.5. And where were they prior to the GFC? At 5. You see the trend here? Down. And then during the last recession for the Cervasa sickness, which you could say, oh, well, it was all about that. Well, not really. Let's remember the repo spike. That showed us that the plumbing was very, very unstable. And the reason the plumbing was unstable is because the economy was unstable. This podcast is brought to you by Rebel Capitalist Pro, the best online investing research. I have teamed up with Chris McIntosh and Lynn Alden, two of the best in the business, to create Rebel Capitalist Pro and give you the tools you need to build wealth and thrive in this crazy world of economic insanity. Rebel Capitalist Pro is jam-packed with Chris and Lynn's incredible research. We have live stream Q&As where you can ask your questions directly to Chris, Lynn, and myself. And the best of all, there's an online member forum which allows you to network, learn, and explore ideas with like-minded individuals. What are you waiting for? Check out Rebel Capitalist Pro right now at georgegammon.com/pro. That's georgegammon.com/pro. Take action today and do something your future self will thank you for. So we see that interest rates only had to get up to 2.5%, and then we had the resulting recession. So we've gone from 17.5% down to 2.5%. So what this would imply is that the next Fed interest rate cycle, they wouldn't have to get up to 2.5% to create an economic recession or worse. They might only have to get up to 1%, 1.25%. And this would make a lot of sense because there's so much more debt in the system and the economy is far more dependent upon those asset prices. So when those asset prices come down, greater impact on the overall economy and greater impact on and a more severe recession. I think it's not, now we're at the point where it's not just creating a recession, it's how severe is the recession going to be. Now let's look at this chart that I showed during the last video. And this is from our good friend, Jeff Snyder. And if you haven't heard me discuss this, I did a whiteboard video on it maybe 3 or 4 weeks, or actually maybe 6 weeks ago, something like that. And this is an interest rate curve similar to the Treasury curve. And we know when the Treasury curve inverts, that's bad news. When you're talking about the twos and the tens, so the 2-year and the 10-year Treasury, when the yield on the 2-year goes higher than the 10-year, that's pretty much a 100% guarantee that we're going to have a recession in the next, let's say, year and a half. The same dynamic applies to the Eurodollar future curve. But Jeff says that you can't get too nuanced with this because this is the global economy we're talking about here. So does this really mean that the Eurodollar futures is predicting that Fed funds will be at 2% in 2023? Maybe, maybe not. Does this mean that it's projecting that we'll go into a recession starting in, let's say, 2024? Maybe, maybe not. It's just basically telling us that there are some severe structural problems with the global economy that the Eurodollar futures market is sniffing out. That's really what this is telling us. So what this means is that when we look at what's going on with this chart, assuming this blue line gets closer to this red line, we would have to conclude with this additional data that's being given to us by the Eurodollar future curve that we need to pay more and more attention to the likelihood of there being a recession in the United States 2022-2023. So now there was one other chart that I wanted to go into. Now let's talk about kind of how the rise in interest rates would impact the asset prices and therefore impact the real economy. Because we've got to remember that the majority of the purchasing power of the average American now in my opinion, is as a result of asset prices. And I totally get it. Not everyone owns an asset, but I think those people that own the assets are spending the money and giving the jobs and creating the demand that does trickle down. And I know trickle down economics, it doesn't work. It doesn't work. And I get it. I don't think it really works to bring up the poor and middle class, but it, I think it definitely does something to sustain or paper over the problem. So if we have interest rates go up, that means that housing affordability decreases, the purchasing power decreases for home buyers. And therefore, that would put a lot of downward pressure on home prices. Well, if prices go down, if equity is a big part of the U.S. purchasing power, well, then what does that do to the headwind or tailwind for the economy as a whole? And then you combine that with the fact that the stock market most likely come down, assuming that we take the Fed at their word and they stop quantitative easing, they move into quantitative tightening with an increase of interest rates. So you've got all of these variables that are kind of creating this perfect storm. But to really give us an idea of how interest rates impact purchasing power for home buyers, I wanted to go over this chart. This is something that was given to me by one of the members in Rebel Capitalist Pro when I was doing the live stream last night. So thank you very much for that. So we see that at a 4% mortgage rate, we'll call it, someone that can afford a $3,500 payment, they can afford about a $650,000 home. And the interest rates, let's say, normalize, where mortgages are, I don't know, 8-9%. Now they go from being able to afford a $650,000 home to a, call it, $450,000 home. That's a big deal. That's a big, big deal. And you can see pretty much the exact same thing applies to everyone, whether or not your budget can handle a $3,500 a month payment or a $1,000 payment. I mean, just think what would happen if overnight mortgages went from 4% to 9%. I mean, the purchasing power of the home buyers in aggregate total in the United States would absolutely plummet. So I know that's not the full story because we got to look at the supply side of the equation as well. But when we're just looking at the demand side of the equation, higher interest rates go, the scarier it gets for the housing market. And then my main point there was to show that this is a significant headwind for the housing market, which would be a significant headwind to the economy, which would also be a significant headwind to the stock market. And it just kind of creates this feedback loop where interest rates go up, stocks go down, demand goes down. We go from a labor shortage to a labor surplus. This also affects the affordability for homes. The rise in interest rates also affects the affordability for homes. If home equity goes down, then stock prices go down even further, and you have like a mini feedback loop. And as that's happening, that's creating a lot of pressure on the economy, creating a recession, which would also bring down home prices, the stock market, in aggregate demand. So we're moving into a situation where, you know, I'm not making a prediction here, but we're walking out on the lake, the frozen lake, and the ice is getting thinner and thinner and thinner. And these are all variables that I think, as prudent investors and rebel capitalists, that we really need to be paying attention to in 2022 and moving into the March Fed meeting, where, as Jerome Powell said yesterday, they're definitely going to increase interest rates. All right, guys, enjoy the rest of your afternoon. Always stand up for freedom, liberty, free market capitalism. We'll see you in the next video.